Christ is risen. Our title today, the inflection matters as I say it. If I said, how to be one, you might ask, well, one what? Right? But instead, I'll say, how to be one, as the theme is the theme of unity. How to be one. And we'll think about what that means. What does it mean to be one? And what does it mean to have unity? And that's where we're going today in our sermon as we look at our text today, which is John 17, verses 20 to 26. Last week, we heard how the Father is with us, even when we're in times of trouble. We can be encouraged by the fact that He is our Father and He is with us. And we can speak to Him directly. He is close. He is not far. After Jesus spoke that and told His disciples about that, He began to pray. And that time closed out His farewell discourse as He talked to them. Several chapters of Him getting them ready for Him to be gone. And then He prayed. And first, as He prayed for Himself. But in the context of being glorified, the glory that comes through the cross. The glory that comes through the cross, dying and rising again. And in that prayer for Himself, He's really praying for those who would hear and be saved through His action. Praying for eternal life for all those who would believe in Him. After that prayer, He moves into a prayer for the 11, as Judas had already left. There were 11 remaining, and there were 11 that would remain after His resurrection. He prays for them, praying for protection for them after He leaves, both as He goes to the cross, but also later on as He returns to heaven, that they would be united, that not being of the world, they would be in the world, set apart for God's service. And if we were to look at those verses there, we would find that what Jesus is praying specifically for those 11, it also really extends to us as well, what He is praying for them. But then, after that prayer, He moves to pray directly, specifically, for the rest of us. All of those who would eventually hear the message of His resurrection and come to believe in Him. And that's what our text is this morning, is that prayer. And so we might, as we listen to this text this morning, we might hear and pay attention to what is it that He's praying for us, especially as we think about His prayer coming in light of His glory, the glory of the cross that He went to and His resurrection, the salvation that comes through death and resurrection and His resurrection. What is it that He prays for us? That's our text this morning, John 17, 20 to 26. I'll invite you to stand as you are able. John 17, 20 through 26, reading in Jesus' name. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us this morning. And as we consider these words that Jesus spoke and that John recorded for us as he prayed to you for us, I ask that you would help us to hear these words and see what it is that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll ask any of the kids that want to come up to the front to come up at this time. All right, come on up. Great. Okay. What do I have? Anybody else coming up? No? Maybe a couple more? All right. Well, as they're coming up, I'm going to show you this picture. What do I have a picture of here? What is this? You guys know what that is?
People.
People? What are they doing?
Running.
Anything you notice about them in their running? Oh, could you have a seat here?
They got tights.
Maybe. I don't know. What about their legs? There's two legs that are together. What are they? All right, you guys need to find a seat here. Can you have a seat?
Working together?
These guys are working together too. That's a good illustration. Maybe that's a good illustration here. They're working together. What is this called? Anybody know? What is that? What kind of a race is that? You see that? I don't know if you could see that close up. What kind of a race is that? Anybody know what that's called? They have their legs tied together at the ankles, right? It's called a three-legged race. At least that's what I know it by. AI had a hard time with that. It didn't know what that was. I had to work a better description. But we got this picture out of it eventually. So they're running together. They have to be together, united, right? Run. They have to do the same thing. All right. Here's what I'm going to ask you a question. I want two volunteers. You just stay where you're seated. Okay. Would you like to? You can just stay where you're seated. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. Who else? Moses? Okay. Here's what I want the two of you to do. Without telling us, I want you to think of a word. Okay, think of a word. You got it in your mind? Don't tell us what it is. When I count to three, I want you to say your word out loud, and we're going to see if it's the same word. That might be a pretty challenging, isn't it? Okay, you got your word? You know what it is? All right, one, two, three. What is it? You didn't have one. That's more than one word. Oh, okay. Well, let's try it one more time. Okay, different word. Different word. And you get a word. You got it? Okay, do you have a word? Different than the first one? Does somebody else want to do it? You've got a word? Okay, I'll get you guys involved in a moment here. All right, so on the count of three, you both have a word? Okay, one, two, three. What was it again? Tied?
Normal?
Yeah, they weren't the same, were they? All right, well, that was a challenge. Well, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. We'll give you a chance. But first, I want to just review something with you. What did you guys hear what season I said we're in right now in the church? It's spring, that's true. When it comes to the church calendar, what is it? We said something at the beginning. Christ is risen. Did you hear what everybody responded? He is risen indeed. Hallelujah, right? We did that. We're in the Easter season. What do we celebrate in Easter? Easter is past the Sunday, but there's an Easter season, so it's a few Sundays that come after. What do we celebrate? Yeah? When Christ was risen, right? He died, he rose it again for us. Jesus did that for us. Okay, and we're celebrating that, right? Okay, now, I want all of you quietly right now, I want to come back to this here now, I want all of you quietly to think of a name. I want you to think of a name in your head, and on the count of three, I want you to say the name that you're thinking. Okay, so just think it in your head. Get a name. Get a name. All right. One, two, three. Oh, we got a lot of different names. I was hoping I could get you to say Jesus together, but no, didn't work. Didn't work. You said Jesus? Okay, we had at least one. All right. Oh, well, there you go. We caught up. All right. All right. Now we're getting unified here around this thought of having Jesus. The idea that we're getting at today, here, go have a seat a second again. The idea that we're getting at today here is the idea of unity. It's hard to do things together with other people, isn't it? Is that hard? It is hard to be unit, to think of the same things. Well, that's what we're thinking of today. Here, could you hand those out for me today? Here, I'll give those to Moses. You can hand them out. Okay. All right. Thanks for coming up. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for coming up here. Thanks for coming up, guys. All right. You could tell me later, okay? You can go back to your seats right now, and you can tell me later. All right. Thanks for coming up.
I need a paper.
Oh, they're right over here. There you go. All right. All right, hey, why don't you guys head that way with them? All right, okay, we're getting them the right direction here. That's good. You can take them back for them. Okay, all right. All right, well, sometimes it's an adventure here. I was hoping I would get a few more Jesus, you know, out of them, a few of those together, but didn't quite happen. All right, well, As I mentioned before, so we're thinking about unity, right? As I mentioned, Jesus is extending his prayer from himself and the work that he would do for us to his disciples, who would be the first ones to carry that message out to other people, and then to us, for everyone who would believe the message that is carried out. And he prays a prayer for unity. And we might ask, well, what does that mean? What is this prayer? Is it a unity of identity? Is it a unity in purpose? Well, we might identify as we read through Scripture, we might notice that there is already a unity of identity for us. In fact, what I mean by that is who we are. There is one body, Paul tells us. There is one body. And so we find that true. There's a unity here. And this idea of unity, of us being united, the fact that there is one body, being the church, is a result of, or comes out of, the Trinity. That there's a unity within God himself. Three persons, but one being. Right? There's a unity there. We also saw, if we read earlier, we would see that the unity of the Trinity is also the basis for our unity. Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are unified, we also become a unity. As the Father is in the Son, so the Son is in us. And we might ask, well, how is this the case? Can we really be unified? Can we really be one as God is one? That seems to be beyond us. Well, it might help to think of creation as God created us. And we were created, humanity was created in the image of God, as in some aspects a copy of Him, reflecting Him. So not divine ourselves, but receiving some of our attributes as humans from Him. We are His image bearers. And so in a similar way, as His image bearers, bearing His image, we reflect the unity that is in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we reflect that. So we have a unity of identity already, but we also, Jesus' prayer is also for a unity of purpose. And it also, this unity of purpose also has the same source. It's within the Trinity. Jesus says that the Father is in the Son is in the Father. And, you know, if we go beyond just this text, we would find the same thing to be true of the Holy Spirit as well. They are united in their purpose. They are not in conflict. As Jesus prays, he prays in union with the Father. What the Son asks, the Father will do. It's already in the plan. There's a unity of purpose there. And we also are called to a unity. Not blind unity, as just taking the lowest common denominator. You know, some might say, well, as long as we agree on the core aspects of the faith. But it's kind of hard to determine what those core aspects are, right? That's kind of going to the lowest common denominator. Our goal should be to be unified beyond just that, right? To be unified beyond that, to seek unity by discovering in God's Word the truth and being united around that. Many say that Christianity is exclusive, and if it is exclusive, then it is divisive, and that exclusivity is part of the problem. Well, is that true? Well, I don't think so. Where does unity come from for us? Does it simply come from not being exclusive, of not being divisive? Well, the key is in how we are described, as Jesus describes us in this prayer. Those who believe in me, he says, through their message, through the Word. This unity comes through the Word. It's centered around the Word. We are united around the message of God's Word. Not all who call themselves Christians are centered around that. So to simply be united around the name Christian doesn't make sense. We are centered around God's Word. We are given the glory that God gave Jesus, which is the glory of the cross. Serving others in that. And we are united around what Jesus did for us. And we might find, too, that then our purpose is centered around the Word of God, And it also has the unity of purpose here is what is this for? The unity of purpose is for the world. For the world. We don't think of just the identity as Christians, as the church, that's not for the world. You know, we're not including everybody in this. This is just the church. But within that, we are united for the purpose of the world, with the world in mind. Jesus says the reason for this unity and purpose is that the world may believe, and he says, that you have sent me, as he prays that way. So we might notice, as we think about this, we might notice that faith, in and of itself, is not the key thing, right? It's what we have faith in. If I took a chair that is broken, or let's say I took one of these music stands and I needed to change a light bulb. Anybody, you noticed anybody that's a little bit brave enough to do something like that? If I tried to balance on the top of the music stand to try and change the light bulb, who would say that's going to work out well? Anybody think that? Oh, I could trust that I could balance on that. It's going to hold me. I don't really know. If I get a ladder that's designed for that and I climb up the ladder, I can trust that that ladder is going to hold me, right? If I trust the ladder that we had in Chad that was just boards nailed together, and after I inspected it, I realized there's a weak point here, and I don't think I should trust this, right? It's what we have faith in that matters. And the same is true when it comes to unity. The unity itself is not itself good. It's what the unity is around. And so as we even think about reaching out to the world, that's still true. Unity around a falsehood will not convince anyone that Jesus was sent from God to save us. They may be drawn to it and like it if we have a message that simply draws people in because we can all agree on it, but it won't draw people to God. The unity that we look for is unity that tells that God sent Jesus. That you have sent me, Jesus said, right? That God sent Jesus, not just that he sent him, but that he sent him to die, to rise again, to save people from sin. The fact that people are sinners and need to be saved. It's a unity around that, which are sometimes unpopular ideas. That unity, as we are united around that message, as people are drawn to see the problems that are in the world and the problems that are in themselves and ourselves, and be drawn to God for his forgiveness, that draws people to God, that Jesus was sent for that purpose. The world will know that God sent Jesus and has loved his followers as we have loved Jesus. There is a unity around the world, around the Word, that shows the world that God loves people. Unity around tolerance, which claims to show that God loves people, in fact doesn't do that. Unity around the Word that tells what Jesus did shows God's love. Jesus' prayer for unity is a prayer of connection for us to God, as God is connected in himself, centered on the truth, with the purpose that the world would believe in him, that they would be drawn into this body of unity, this exclusive body that is open to anyone. Exclusive in the way that we are in it, but not who can be in it, right? Jesus then expresses his desire for all of us. He wants those that are given to him to be with him where he is, to see his glory, the glory of God from before creation. His desire is for everyone to see the glory of God, to be united in that. We see this glory in Jesus as we hear about his death and his resurrection for us. We see it in the future as we look ahead to entering eternity with him. How do we arrive in glory with him? How do those around us arrive in glory with him? The world doesn't know. The world doesn't know how to be there. The world doesn't know God, as Jesus tells us here. They have rebelled against God and don't know him. But there is hope. There is hope. Jesus knows God. Now that might seem obvious because we say, well, Jesus is God. But as his disciples met him, that was not apparent at the beginning. They had to get to know him to realize that he is God. And as they did, as he came into the world, as he became human, we get to know God through him. Jesus has made God known. God appeared to the Israelites in the Old Testament, and they saw his glory from a distance on the mountain. They saw his glory from a distance as it entered the temple in a restricted way, as God restricted himself to that in a special way. But it was distant and unapproachable. And the only connection to it was through regular sacrifice. But in Jesus, the glory of God came to us in human form, showing God to us, being God among us. And we get to know God through him. Jesus has made God known and will continue to make the Father known so that God's love for him would be in us and he would be in us. We get to know God through Jesus. We are united in God's glory through Jesus. As we look ahead to celebrating communion together, we partake together in unity in Jesus' body and blood. We share in him. We are united in him. We are set apart by him to work for him, to bring him to the world. Jesus prays for unity. It is not any unity, as we have noted. It is unity first around God's Word, revealing truth to us, who he is, what he has done for us. Unity in purpose, so that we would be one in purpose, reaching out to the world. As we unite around that, as we unite around bringing God to the world, God works through us. And the more that we are united with the message of the gospel, the more that people will see and believe and be united along with us to God. And as Jesus unites us and others through his word, through his meal that we share together, he brings us together for his purposes to show us and bring us into his glory eventually. And we pray then for unity so that we would be united, so that we would be united around God's word, so that we would speak well of God's word to the world, that we would be united in his glory, the glory of the cross, and eventually the glory of heaven together. That's what we pray for. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that comes to us. We thank you for Jesus' prayer as we see in it his desire that we would be united, connected to you, connected to one another in perfect unity for our own salvation and also for the salvation of the world, that through us you would bring the message to others that you would have be united with you. We ask that you would work through the word of communion that we look ahead to celebrating, that through receiving your word, through receiving you, we would be united to bring that message to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.